take our hymnals, if you would, please, and open up to number 555. 555. Number 555, I want that mountain. Number 555. Let's all stand as we sing together. I saw the giant of perilousness upon the mountain high. He laughed so hard at my unbending knee. All right, here we go. I saw the giant of perilousness upon the mountain high. He laughed so hard at my unbended knee. No longer in the wilderness I'd stay, and so I cry. I want that mountain, it belongs to me. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of escrow grow. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, the mountain that the Lord has given me. On the second, there was a giant of laziness who said, I will not go and witness for the one who set me free. I'll come out of the wilderness, I'll witness now I know. I want that mountain, it belongs to me. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of escrow grow. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, the mountain that my Lord has given me. On the last now, let every giant of this nation get ready now to vacate, for you see, I've come from out the wilderness, I know I'm going to win. I want that mountain, it belongs to me.
I want that mountain, I want that mountain, where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of escrow grow. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, the mountain that my Lord has given me.
All right.
Let's open it with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us in your house once again to worship you. Lord, I pray that you give us an open heart to receive your word. Lord, help us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves. Lord, thank you so much for bringing us here together once again. Lord, for it is a blessing not only to us but to you to bring us in your house. Lord, we thank you so much for the love that you've given to us and the blood of your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. Lord, help us not to take it for granted. Lord, and help us in everything that we do. Give glory to your name, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, mate. Oh, no, you can be seated if you're going to sing real good. Amen. If you're not singing real good, I'll stop in the middle of the song and we will stand up. No, don't make me stop this car. Number 572. Number 572. The fight is on. That's what they sang at my wedding as my wife walked down the aisle. The fight is on. We thought we got married before the Justice of the Peace, but it really was the Secretary of War. You know, there is three rings to marriage, right? The engagement ring, the wedding ring, and suffering. Number 572, the fight is on. Here we go. Are you ready?
The fight is on. The trumpet sound is ringing out. The cry to arms is heard afar and near. The Lord of hosts is marching on to victory. The triumph of the Christ will soon appear. The fight is on, oh Christian soldier, and face to face in stern array, with armor gleaming and collar streaming, the right and wrong engaged today. The fight is on, but be not weary. Be strong and in his might hold fast. If God be for us, his banner o'er. rousing soldiers, brave and true, Jehovah leads, the victory will assure. Go buckle on the armor God has given you, and in his strength until the end endure. The fight is on, oh Christian soldier, and face to face in stern array, with armor gleaming and colors streaming, the right and wrong engage today. The fight is on, but be not weary, be strong and in his might hold fast. If God be for us, his banner o'er us, we'll sing the victor's song at last. On the last now, the Lord is leading on to certain victory. The bow of promise bends the eastern sky. His glorious name in every land shall honor be. The morn will break, the dawn of peace is nigh. Oh, Christian soldier, face to face, stern array, with armor gleaming and colors streaming, the right and wrong engage today. The fight is on, but be not weary, be strong and in his might hold fast. If God be for us, his banner o'er us, we'll sing the victor's song at last.
All right. Let me just...
What you got here? Say amen.
Hey.
Amen.
I know you're getting your stuff.
Excuse me, I have to change characters here. Hello, welcome to Central Park Baptist Church. We're awful glad that you're here this afternoon. Welcome to our afternoon service. I was Brother Yule just for a moment, but I've put him aside. He's been on a diet, did you notice? And anyway, I want to just give you a few announcements. He'll be back next week to gig me, so I wanted to get it in while I had a chance. Don't forget about soul winning Saturday morning, 9:30 in the morning. I don't know. I miss him when he's not here, don't you? There's a uniqueness about Brother Yule. This has nothing to do with anything except for, this is how I see him. I see him as that little boy. I see a little boy in him that's just meek and mild and sweet and kind. And then the reality happened. I just see that in him. And it's just so sweet to see that in someone his age, which is 940. And as a servant of the Lord, he just is so kind and so wonderful. So make sure that when he gets back, you let him know how much you missed him and how important he is, because he sets the whole tone of our services here. He really does. All right, don't forget about Monday Bible study. Tuesday morning. There's going to be a Bible study sometime. You just come when you want to. There'll be a Bible study Tuesday morning, 10 o'clock in the morning. It's a ladies' Bible study. Ladies, I want to encourage you to be a part of it. New study called Anchored. Amen. That's where they tie an anchor around your leg and cast you over to the side, and we'll see if you can sink or swim. But I want to encourage you to be a part of that. I do not know what is wrong, but that's Tuesday at 10 o'clock. Don't forget about our cybersecurity class that's coming up on May 4th. I can't tell you how important this is to people. If you don't know about your cybersecurity, and if you're not secure in the cyber world, you need to become. Because somebody will take advantage of you, and it's going to hurt you. And we don't want you hurt. We don't want you to lose money. We don't want you to lose time. We don't want you to lose your identity. We want you to be intact for the Lord. Amen. We don't want somebody to destroy your testimony or attempt to do that because they're impersonating you. So we want you to be able to be protected. So Saturday, May 4th at 11 o'clock in the morning, Brother Clark will be teaching a class on cybersecurity. Brother Clark, how long will that class last? Do you have any idea? About 45 minutes. Then longer if you have any questions, and or shorter if you don't. And there you go. And so I want to encourage you to come and be a part of that. And the material he will impart for you will be a blessing to you and help keep you safe. We live in an odd day, and it's very important that you stay safe online. Amen. So there's many other announcements. I have not announced in the bulletin. I want to encourage you to look at that. Pastor's going to come now, and he's going to talk to us about Friend Day coming.
Amen. Friend Day, don't forget, we're 1 week from today. And so let me encourage you, there's still some more flyers out there. Please pick those up. I saw some folks picking them up this afternoon. Some have put the perforated parts on the bulletin board out here. But if you have some, put them up. It's an encouragement to see that folks are coming. So let's do the very best that we can. I mean, put forth 110% effort this week in inviting folks to come and be here. Folks will come for things like this when they won't normally come for anything else. So please do that and pick up some of those flyers and let's hand them out, all right? Again, as Brother Marco said, pray for Brother Shelton. They should be back in town this week and for Wednesday night. And we've got some other folks that are traveling too. So please keep them in your prayer today. And Brother Marco does a good job too. Amen. He does all right. He leads, you know, he knows some of the songs that I know. Did y'all know all of those songs that we sing? How many have never sang The Fight Is On?
Oh, my.
Are y'all serious? We got to sing. We're gonna start learning some new songs. You know, that's not a new one. That's been around a while. But did you like that one? That's pretty good, wasn't it? We'll do some more like that. I'm gonna see if we picked out. Oh, how many of you ever heard the Ring the Bells of Heaven?
Oh yeah.
Oh, y'all know. Okay, well. Well, we're not gonna sing that one. Okay. We may sing The Fight Is On again. All right. But we'll have to pick some more of those out and sing those. So anyway, let's work hard this week, invite, encourage. Please don't forget about the garage sale that's coming up. If you have some things you'd like to bring, please bring those this week. If you're going to help, sign up out here on the bulletin board as well. But please, let's prepare for that. All those things work in conjunction for something else. The garage sale will go to help VBS and some of our kids that want to go and that can't afford it. So please, the more we raise, the better that helps other folks. So let me encourage you to be a part of that as well, all right? Well, y'all ready to have a good offering?
Amen.
We had an offering this morning, but we need a good offering. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let's have a good offering. May the Lord bless you as you give. Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness. I'm thankful, God, that you're faithful. Lord, you're trustworthy. I'm thankful that you're merciful. I'm thankful, Father, that you're just. And God, I'm thankful that we serve an almighty God who loves us, Lord, and Lord just wants to do for us. And so, Lord, help us, as we learned this past Wednesday night, to trust you, Lord, and implicitly. And, God, I'll give you praise for that. Lord, please bless the offering. We pray, Father, that you'd bless the gift and the giver, because it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have an offering, you please come.
Sing Ring the Bells of Heaven then, okay? Number 642. Number 642. I thought we were singing something else, but we're not. So we're going to sing this one together. Ring the Bells of Heaven. There is joy today for a soul returning from the wild. Here we go.
Ring the bells of heaven. There is joy today for a soul returning from the wild. See the Father meet him out upon the way, welcoming his weary, wandering child. Glory, glory, how the angels sing. Glory, glory, how the loud harps ring. 'Tis the ransom army, like the mighty sea, pealing forth the anthem of the free. On the second now.
ABC, pealing forth the anthem of the free. All right, one more song, number 414 today, number 414, and this is my motto, the world is not my home. Amen. I am so, this is another old song. How many have never sung this song? How many know this song? How many don't know this song? How many don't know where you're at right now? Okay, number 414, this world is not my home. Are you ready? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, oh, Lord, what would I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Now, let me ask you this. In the year 2024, how many really feel at home in this world today? Anybody? I just do not feel at home here, and I cannot wait to get to Glory Land. Verse number 2. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and onward I go. I know He'll take me through. I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what would I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. On the last verse, just open glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. The song of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what would I do? From heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Please greet those around you, shake their hands, and we'll get ready for our special.
Through my disappointment, strife and discontentment, I cast my every care upon the Lord. No matter what obsession, pain or deep depression, I'm standing on the solid rock.
I'm standing on the rock,
on the rock of ages, safe from every storm, all the storm that rages. Rich in love, I'm rich, not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. Even though he's gone now, I don't feel alone now. With comfort came the Spirit of the Lord. Now with his word to guide me, from temptations hide me. I'm standing on the solid rock.
I'm standing on the rock,
on the rock of ages, safe from every storm, all the storm that rages. Rich in love, I'm rich, not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. Now I'm pressing onward,
Each step leads me homeward. I'm trusting in my Savior day by day. And close is our relation, firm is its foundation. So on the solid rock I'll stay. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from every storm, all the storm that rages. Rich in love, I'm rich, not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from every storm, all the storm that rages. Rich in love, I'm rich, not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid, standing on the solid, standing on the solid rock.
And that's Miss Katie Valesco on the piano. Amen. Amen. I thought that's a good job. I enjoyed that. Exodus 16. Am I on? I think it's the green light's on. Exodus chapter 16. Let's read verse 1 through 7. We read these last week, but and then we'll read verses 14 and 15. All right, found your place. Amen. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. They had it so good in Egypt, remember? For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. And to me, I wish they'd have known all that before they left Egypt. They'd have never left, right? Moses is such a mean individual. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain fire and brimstone down from heaven for you and wipe out all those murmurers and all those complainers. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. What mercy of God. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? Now let's go ahead and skip over to verse 14 and 15. It says, And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It's manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Father, I pray, God, that you'll help me as we talk about the manna from heaven, Lord. I pray that you'll help me to preach the message that you've laid upon my heart, God, as we continue through the life of Moses and the children of Israel. God, I pray that you'll help us to Lord, to understand and find the ways to apply these things to our heart and lives, God, because they're just as relevant today as they were then. And so, Lord, please help us with the principles that are written here in this book. Lord, thank you, God, for the reading of your word. Bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we, you may be seated, when we were in Dumas, when I was with my dad and when we pastored there in Pampa, we'd bring our kids, the thing that we used to do with our young people, we'd bring them to Six Flags. Well, when you came down 287, you'd have to go in such a way, I believe it's down Interstate 30, And when you drove down that way, you'd always pass, I believe it was a Mrs. Baird's Bread Factory. And when you'd drive through there, normally we'd come through there in the mornings and, you know, the air was nice and cool. All the, you know, we had air conditioning in our buses. It was like 2060, you know, 20 windows rolled down at 60 miles an hour. But when you roll those windows down, you'd drive by that that bread factory and that smell of fresh bread baking coming out of that off of that hot, man, it was the most awesome smell that you could imagine. And I love to smell fresh baked bread. Man, you get you some good old, you know, I'm not talking about margarine. Yeah, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about, you know, it's, what's that stuff called? It's almost like butter. Yeah, I can't believe it's butter. Yeah, because it ain't. Yeah. But you get some good old-fashioned churned butter, amen? Something got a little taste to it. Take a hot piece of that bread. Man, you just slather that butter on there to where you can't even hardly see the bread. And just take your time eating it, you know. And if you get some on your lip or somewhere up in here, be careful. Because if you get it up in there, on you, you'll beat yourself to death trying to lick it off your forehead, amen? But I'm telling you, the bread, to me, is amazing. But then I think about the manna, and we're going to get into that in a minute. But this is bread from the ovens of heaven that God has rained down for these murmuring people to eat. And we learned last week about the Israelites and their murmuring. We learned that it seemed like they were addicted to murmuring. I mean, it seemed like everything they did, they murmured. They always found something to complain about. But as you continue to read through chapter 16, I challenge you to read that sometime today. You don't have to read very far until you notice the grace of God. You say, well, how do you notice that? Well, although Israel's murmuring was so sinful, instead of God, as we talked about, raining fire and brimstone down on them, God said in verse 4, you look what he said after all that's been explained, God said, I will rain bread from heaven for you. Now, folks, that's grace. Amen. Yeah. You remember Romans chapter 5 and verse 20, it said, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. What a picture of the grace of God right here as we see them, a murmuring people. And listen, we can see the same thing in our own lives. Before we, you know, throw rocks at Israel, he who is without sin cast the first stone. There's times in our lives we have a tendency to murmur and complain, and yet still as a result, God still blesses us, amen, instead of punishing us. And we can see that right here. And so God shows us his grace and his mercy. And as the children of Israel, they journey from Egypt toward Canaan. They have a lot of needs. And if you think about this, and we talked a little bit about this last week, there's probably over 2 million people that have exodus from Egypt. That's a lot of people. And when you think about the amount of people that have left, listen, they would have needed about, and now this is an approximation, they would have needed about 1,500 tons of food every day. That, you remember, that's 2 million people, right? It would take two freight trains, each one a mile long, to feed that many people every day. Kind of bring it into perspective. They would need 4,000 tons of wood for firewood every day. They would need 11 million gallons of water every day. If the people were to make a line, if Moses were to say, okay, here's some food, line up. There would be a line 800 miles long, and it would take 35 days and nights to get through the line. If you were in the back of the line, listen, I wouldn't want to be in the back of the line. And if they did it by, you know, alphabetical order, I would starve to death before I ever got to the front of the line. But listen, but God, in his supernatural power, provided their need. And my God, listen, shall provide all your need according to his riches in glory. And folks, if he can provide, listen, enough food, I'm talking about 1,500 tons of food every day, 4,000 tons of firewood every day, 11 million gallons of water every day for these people, then God can supply our need for you and me on a daily basis.
Amen.
The manna that fell in the wilderness, I'm telling you, it was a blessing to those people, and it fed them for 40 years. The manna was given to them to feed their fleshly bodies, but there's also, and we're going to look at these, some spiritual truths as well. And while the Lord Jesus was here, the Jews, listen, and I thought this was interesting, while the Lord was here, the Jews challenged the Lord Jesus to prove to them that he was who he said he was. And if you turn quick over to John chapter 6 and verse 31, they suggested to the Lord that he give them manna from heaven to eat. And they said, like Moses had given their forefathers. Well, when the Lord responded to these people, listen, he told them, listen, he said, God, not Moses, gave that food to your forefathers in the wilderness. God gave that to them, not Moses. Can I tell you something today? It is not me that supplies my needs when I have a need in my life. It's not you that by the strength of your hands that supplies the needs in your life. Listen, it is God himself that supplies all of our need every moment of every day, just like he did here. And so he told them that the manna served an even greater purpose than that of feeding the people who had been long dead. And in fact, the Lord Jesus told them that the manna represented him. He claimed that he was the bread of life and that he identified himself with the ancient manna that fed Israel. And when the people of Israel first encountered these small pieces of bread lying on the ground, if you look over in verse 15, you'll notice that when they looked at it, they called it manna. And they said, it's manna. And if you keep reading, it says, for they wist not what it was. That's exactly what the word manna means. It means, what is it? So I want to take this thought and for just a few minutes and give you some things about the facts about manna. First, I want you to see, if you look back in verse 4, chapter 16, its conception here pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. The idea for manna, listen, watch this, it originated with God. Manna was not God's idea, was not man's idea. All the people of Israel could think of was the food that they left behind in Egypt. They told Moses and Aaron, would to God we had been back in Egypt where we ate bread to the full. Listen, that was a lie right there. They didn't eat to the full, they did without. And so they looked back and they saw that they were looking at something that they had left behind. Now watch this. Had they been left behind or left to themselves, they would have produced something that they could have been a part of. We're talking about how the manna pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. They would have produced something that they could have been a part of. They would have produced something that would have gratified their flesh. And so by sending manna, watch this, God totally removed man from the equation.
Amen.
The manna was free. All the people had to do was stoop down and pick it up, if you read verses 14 through 17. And so the manna was a picture of the free grace and the gift of grace by Almighty God. They deserved judgment, amen? I mean, they'd been complaining. They had been murmuring to Moses and Aaron because they didn't have anything to eat. And they deserved judgment and death, and yet God gave them life. He gave them manna. And this is exactly what God has done in the area of salvation. Left to himself, watch this, man will seek out a religious experience that satisfies and gratifies his flesh. That's exactly what's going on today in worship. Listen, worship has not become, it seems like it's not about God anymore. It's about going somewhere where it makes my flesh feel good. They won't stand up and preach, thus saith the Lord. They won't stand up and preach, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. They'll say, listen, man, you're good, I'm good, we're all good. Let's just go home and pat one another on the back and be back next Sunday morning, ready to go. And they give some type of a motivational speech. Listen, we're here to worship God. We're here to lift him up. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. So man would have never conceived of a plan that left self out. Man seemed like they all want to be a part of something, and they would not have devised a plan that demanded nothing from himself. Listen, people still want to work their way to heaven. Yeah. Amen. Many would have, and they have had, they've conceived of plans that include self. Look at all the different religions today. Look at, and you study them a little bit, and I'm telling you that 99.9% of them, it all has something to where it gives them a part that they do, that what they do is a part of their salvation. That is absolutely false. And we can all say, amen. Thank you, Brother Marco. Listen, man left to himself will always come up with something where we're a part of. You know, man likes to brag.
Yeah.
I mean, we like to flaunt at our achievements. Oh, look, do you see what I did?
Right, yeah, come on.
You know, no, what he did. Look, y'all see what I did a lot better than what he did. Amen. It's like the two guys that was bragging one day, and they're looking out in the oil field, and one guy goes, he'd come bragging on his sight, and he said, look at that. You see that big reservoir tank over there? And it's probably 200 yards from it. And his buddy's standing there going, no, I don't see it. Why? He goes, man, you see that fly on it? And the guy goes, oh, no, I don't see him, but I can hear him. Yeah. You know what? I mean, we want to brag on ourselves. You follow me? Amen. But listen, but that's not God's plan. God's plan of salvation has nothing to do with us. All we have to do is receive the gift, just like the manna. Listen, all they had to do was to stoop down and pick it up. Amen. It was a free gift. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved. Amen. Come on. Not of yourself. It's not of works. It's a gift of God, lest any man should boast or brag. God's plan for man to come to him through Jesus and through Christ alone. Listen, there is no other plan of salvation available that will save the human soul outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. So salvation, it's not about what we can do, but it's all about what Jesus has done. You can do anything you please. You can believe anything you choose. You can join any church, any group out there. But salvation and peace will only be found in one place. Yeah. And that place is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Amen. Number two, the characteristics of man picture the Lord Jesus. If you look in verse 14 and verse 31, you notice the appearance. The way the manna looked paints a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 14, it was small, which speaks of the Lord's humility. He is the creator of the universe, and I'm so thankful for that. Listen, that eclipse thing the other day was an awesome thing.
Yeah.
God did that.
Amen.
That didn't happen over billions of years or any of that kind of stuff. Listen, God did that. Look, turn over to Colossians, if you would. Look in Colossians. Let me get to it. Look in Colossians chapter 1 and look in verse 16 and 17. For by him, God, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. In other words, when all things got here, he was already here.
Right.
He's before all things. And by him, all things consist. Now, that doesn't mean that he's already talks about him creating things, but everything stays like they are because of God. They consist. This whole world has been reserved to judgment. This world and that we live on, this old mud ball we call the earth, listen, regardless of what the green people say, I think we ought to be a good hour, this globe. But I'm telling you, God said it's going to be here till he judges it.
Right. Amen.
Yeah. It consists of him. He's the creator. Yet he came, think about this, John chapter 1 verse 14. He came into the world and listen, robed himself in human flesh. He humbled himself and became a servant so that he would die on the cross for the sins of mankind. Turn to Philippians chapter 2 in verse 5 through 8. Philippians chapter 2 and look in verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. You think, listen, the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ, that how he humbled himself to be clothed in this flesh. Listen, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Listen, I'm thankful today that the Lord Jesus Christ did what he did and that he humbled himself. Well, this appearance of this manna speaks of the humility of Christ. It was round. Like a circle that has no beginning and no ending, speaking of the eternality of God. His beginning did not begin in Bethlehem. Listen, but John chapter 8 and verse 58, God said, before Abraham was, I am.
Right.
It was white, which speaks of the Lord's purity. He was born into a world without the taint of human sin.
Right.
Listen, the bloodline comes from the Father.
Right.
Listen, our bloodline comes from our Father. We are sinful creatures because of our Father, Adam. Amen. It's been passed down through the centuries, and listen, because of the sin of one man, sin was passed on to all men, whereby death, listen, we were all passed under, or made unto death because of the sin of Adam. But listen, as by one man sin entered into the earth, listen, we are also saved by the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary. By one man, We have been appropriated salvation because of the Lord's purity. 1 John 3, 5, it says, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Hebrews 7, 26, it says, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was unable to sin. I've thought about that in weeks past, but you really can't, we cannot grasp the thought that the Lord Jesus Christ cannot even think about sin.
Right.
It could not even enter into his thought process. Had he been able to do that, couldn't be God. So the manna was white, speaking of his purity. Notice the appeal of it. Look in verse 16 and verse 31 and also verse 35. God designed the manna in such a way that it was a blessing to everybody that ate it.
Yeah.
It was sweet.
Yep.
Now, I'd like to have tasted it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to have tasted manna.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about stuff, sometimes you just sit around and think about things about Scripture. You know, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. And with today's technology, I would like to have a drop of his blood so I could look at it. And so that the scientists of this day could look at it and do DNA tests on it. And it makes me wonder what it looked like as far as a DNA strand and all those kinds of things. I'm telling you, it wouldn't look nothing like mine and yours. Amen. I just think that kind of stuff would be an awesome thing. But wouldn't you like to taste manna? Something that would satisfy this old body. Listen, I'm telling you, the Jews just, they didn't know how good they had it. But it was sweet. It was wafers made with honey. A surprise to those who tasted it. Which is a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. To a sinner, Jesus appears to be harsh. you know, some type of a cosmic killjoy who delights in keeping people from having fun. That's the way a lot of people think of God. Well, God just don't want us to have any fun. That's not right. I have all kinds of fun. Amen. I'm having fun right now. Amen. Listen, but I'm telling you, a lot of people think that there's no fun in being a child of God. If you don't think there's any fun to being a child of God, go knock on doors on Saturday. Amen. I'm telling you, it's a hoot. When you knock on somebody's door, listen, number one, you don't know who's coming.
Right.
You don't know how they're going to be dressed.
Right.
And you don't know what they're going to say. Oh yeah, I'm telling you, it's pretty fun. It's pretty exciting. You come and go Saturday.
Amen.
I'm telling you, you'll think different.
Yeah.
Anyway, Christianity's fun, but a lot of people think that God just keeps us from having fun. In reality, though, when you come to know Him, you find that the Lord, that God, He is the delight of the soul.
Amen.
You find that He makes life worth living. We sing the song every once in a while, Every Day with Jesus. I heard Brother Will play it a while ago. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. The psalmist said in Psalm 34 and verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Listen, I'm thankful. Listen, this manna shows us a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was sweet, but it was also sufficient. Look in verse 16 and verse 35. Verse 16 says, Let this thing which the Lord hath commanded gather of it every man according to his eating, and omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. Now look in verse 35. Let me get over here. Verse 35, it says, And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. Listen, manna was sufficient for the Israelites for 40 years. The manna was right for everybody.
Amen.
It's right for everybody. The growing boy, the growing little girl, the teenage boy, the teenage girl. Listen, the older, more mature man and woman, listen, that the manna was sufficient for everybody who ate it. It fed the rich, the poor, the leader, the follower. It was good enough to sustain the lives of the entire congregation of Israel for 40 years, which again is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is an all-sufficient Savior, regardless of where someone may be in life or where they may have been. Jesus is all you need. Amen. It don't matter what your past may have been like 40 years ago. I'm thankful that God didn't hold my past against me. I was telling somebody this afternoon that I've got a picture on my driver's license when I was 23 years old. I believe that's about what I was. Listen, and I look at it and I pull it out every once in a while just to look at it so I can say thank God for His grace, amen, and knowing that He is all sufficient and He will change us if we allow it, amen.
Amen.
Man, I look at the guy in that picture and he has no right to be standing here. Not none. But it's all because of the grace of Almighty God.
Amen.
Listen, I'm thankful today because of God's grace. Listen, I'm thankful that God He is sufficient for us. And no matter where we are in life, that He is sufficient. Listen, He saves the rich, the young, the old. Listen, the religious. He saves the non-religious. He said in Romans 10:13, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, it says, Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. A lot of Christians today are struggling against the will of Almighty God when all they got to do is turn around and walk the direction that God wants them to walk. Listen, and He will give you peace and He'll give you rest for your soul. Amen. In fact, if you look in Numbers chapter 11 and verse 8, in fact, turn over there if you would, Numbers chapter 11 and look in verse 8. When you read, well, you're turning there, when you read Exodus 16 verses 16 through 18, they tell us that no matter how much manna a person gathered, they always had the right amount. There was always enough. But when you go to Numbers chapter 11, look in verse 8. Found your place. Amen. Amen. And when the people went about and gathered it, ground it in mills, beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And the taste was as the taste of fresh oil. Now, think about this. These people, after 2 years, this has just been 2 years down the road. Some of them got tired of it. And so you know what they've done? They're trying to do everything they can to change the flavor. They're trying to improve on the taste. But their attempts only ruined the taste of the manna. When man adds his alterations to the gospel message and they try to make it more appealing, it robs it of its saving power. Come on, amen. And not only that, but let me just, while I'm here, when you try to add to something that God has given us, it's perfect, amen. In our King James Bible, this is not a version. This is the King James Bible. All the other ones are versions. Listen, and just like these people, when they ground it and they milled it and they done all this stuff, listen, God didn't tell them to do that. He just told them to gather it up and eat it. But they've taken it and they've tried to change it and change the taste of it, make it better. Listen, and all it did was rob it of its value, rob it of its power. Listen, that's what they've done to the King James Bible today. The inspired, preserved, almighty Word of God. They've tried to change it. But if you go and look at all these other versions, you'll be understanding, read and study about the men who have given us those. Listen, they are tainted.
Yeah.
They don't believe what this Bible gives us.
Right.
All the authors are not, listen, they did not give us a preserved Word of God.
Yeah.
Come on, y'all here. Same thing we see here. When man adds his alterations to the gospel, I'll say it again. Listen, they try to make it more appealing. It robs it of its saving power. The gospel is sufficient. I don't need another Bible. I got the best one. You can't improve on perfection, right? Amen. It was sufficient. Notice its appropriation. The way the children of Israel appropriated the manna, it also paints a picture of how people need to come to the Lord Jesus. If you look in verse 14 and 15, it was appropriated by stooping. And this is what I mentioned a while ago. The manna, when they came out of their tents, listen, it appeared on the ground. And in order to gather it, the people had to stoop or bend their knees in order to get it. The only way to come to the Lord Jesus for salvation is with a humble heart. Matthew chapter 18, verses 2 through 4. And as I mentioned a few Sundays ago, Jesus came, the Bible says, to seek and to save. Yeah, that which was lost. Listen, you got to get lost before you can get saved. Acts 17:30, it says, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commendeth all men everywhere to repent." That's a good old-fashioned Bible word, to repent. Listen, God just simply wants us to admit that we're sinful and we need to get right. So it was appropriated by stooping. It was also appropriated by swallowing. Look in verses 16 through 18 again. The manna was, by the way, the manna was gathered by the men. Amen. It's gathered by the men. And then when they went in, the manna was brought into the tent. It was then divided out according to the number of people in the tent. The manna was there, but watch, but it could not help anybody until they ate it. The benefit from it had, listen, the benefit of the manna had to get on the inside. The application here, watch this, is the application. Amen. I mean, you can come to church. Think about it. You can carry the right Bible. You can sing all the songs. You can pray all the prayers. You can listen to the sermons and do all the religious stuff you want. You can do all those things and still never be saved. You will never grow until you come to the Lord Jesus Christ yourself for salvation. It, just like the manna, and in order for it to do any good, the person, the individual, had to eat it himself.
Yeah.
He couldn't eat it for me. What good would that do me?
Right.
Same thing. If he is his salvation, listen, I may know that he gets saved. I may know that he's followed the Lord in baptism. But when it comes to eternity, how's that going to help me? None whatsoever. I have to receive it myself. So it's appropriated by the swallowing. Same thing through salvation. But notice it also pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in verse 1 and verse 14. I'll not take the time to read them all again. But the manna came to a forsaken place. The children of Israel, they're out here wandering around in the wilderness. When the manna began to appear, listen, and when the Lord Jesus came, he came for a people that's trapped in the wilderness of sin. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Look, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Look in verse 1 through 3. And you hath he quickened, are made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. A lot of them, among whom also we all have had our conversation or our living in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Listen, I'm telling you, you and I, before we got saved, we're just out here wandering lost in a wilderness, bound for a devil's hell. But the Lord Jesus, I'm thankful, came to deliver people who had no hope of delivering themselves. He came to set the captives of sin free. Now turn back to Luke and look in chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Look in verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon them, is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised. Listen, that's what the gospel does. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ does. It'll set you free. Brother Shelton sings the song, "He came to me." Amen. I mean, he came to where we were. The Lord Jesus Christ came for lost, sinful man bound for hell. Mark 2:17, it says, when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Listen, I'm thankful that he came to me and saved my soul. He came to a foolish people. Yeah. Think about this. Look in verse 2 of 3, chapter 16. God sent the manna to a people who all they longed for was to go back to what they left behind. Yeah. How foolish is that? They were tired of God's plan. They were tired of God's way. And they did not deserve God's blessing. But listen, even though they wanted to go back, even though they didn't deserve what God was doing, he still sent, listen, manna to these foolish people, the food that they needed. How much is that like the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen, he came to a people who wanted nothing to do with him. John chapter 1 and verse 1 tells us he came to his own, and his own received him not. He came to a people that mocked him, hated him, and crucified him. Listen, he knew all of that was going to take place, but he came anyway. That is the love and the grace and the forgiveness of Almighty God. And he came to offer them, you and me, eternal life. All they got to do is receive it. And you know, he makes the same offer today. Listen, when he came to me, I wasn't looking for him. I was walking my own path, doing my own thing, headed straight for hell, and listen, and I deserved every bit of it. But then one day, I met him. Yeah. It wasn't on a Damascus road, but I still met him. It was on my road. And I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. But listen, there was a time in there I got away from him. We all act foolish sometimes. Listen, I would not recommend. I tell people all the time, they say, well, if you did it, you may not. Right. Listen, just because one person came and lived that kind of life does and got back into the will of Almighty God doesn't mean that you will. Listen, I'm a good, bad example in a lot of ways. And I tell people, don't do it like that. If God speaks to your heart, you get away from it right that moment. Amen. I would whole lot rather say, listen, that I can say this about my wife. We talk about alcohol. She said, I've never tasted it. And I say, well, praise the Lord. How much better is it to be able to say that than hear somebody, sometimes they kind of gloat in the fact that, yeah, I lived that life and, you know, I did this and I did that and God delivered me from that. Listen, sometimes we have testimonies like that and we act like we're proud of it.
Right. Come on.
I'm ashamed of that.
Yeah.
For years, my kids, and I've definitely not told them about all of my life, but I'm telling you, I don't want them to know about how shameful I was. When I came and pastored Central Park Baptist Church, there's things that came out through preaching one time, not my own, that people found out some things about me, and when I came home, my kids started asking me, Daddy, did that happen to you? And I said, who told you that? You know why I didn't tell them? I was ashamed of it.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm still ashamed.
Yeah.
50 years later. Listen, I'm telling you, that kind of stuff sticks in your memory.
Yeah.
I've tried to live it down, and I've spent, you know, 40 years of my life trying to live that kind of lifestyle down.
Yeah.
And it still takes effort sometimes. You know, the old man is just right under the surface. Come on, y'all know that. Yeah. And he tries to get out, and there's a warfare going on all the time. But I do my best to try to feed my spiritual man.
Amen.
Listen, I still have to spend time with the Lord. Sometimes I spend more time with him than you know, what I think I need. Why? Because God says, taste and see that he's good. Listen, that's the picture of the manna. It was sufficient. It was sweet. It's all I need in my life to change me. And I thank God that I'm being renewed day by day.
Amen.
Amen. You say, when I get up in the morning, I'm still going to need some renewing. But I'm thankful that God still comes to me. And he still, you know, there's an old song that says, when he reached down his hand for me, when he reached way down and set me free. Listen, when he got me, he had to reach way down. But I'm thankful that the arm of God will reach you where you're at. He'll save your soul. He'll clean you up, set you back on a solid rock, put a song in your heart, amen, and he'll take care of you. Look in verse 4. It tells us that the manna was sent to test the people, to test their obedience. The same is true of the Lord Jesus. Along the way, just like those who got tired of the manna, I think sometimes we grow tired of Jesus. We show it by how we live. Listen, a lot of people today, they've grown, and I'm thankful that you're here. But I want you to get this. A lot of people have grown tired of being faithful to church. They've grown tired of serving the Lord. And they've changed their priorities. Listen, we're not here serving God. Not in here. I challenged our Sunday school class this morning. When we talk about church, don't say, yeah, we're having service at 9:30 or 10:30. Our service at, no, listen, it's our worship.
Right.
We be the church.
Yeah.
When we're not going to church, we're coming to worship. Can I challenge you to do the same today? When you talk to somebody, say, oh yeah, we have worship on Sundays at 10:30. You ought to come. Listen, we come today to get you know, to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ, to enjoy one another's fellowship, and to grow thereby. Listen, we need that strength. We're about to go out into enemy territory here in just a few minutes. We're going behind enemy lines, and we need some help. Well, I'm telling you, manna will help you. And that manna is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's sufficient, he's sweet, and he'll supply all your needs. But But listen, the application is the application. You have to taste and see that the Lord is good. Father, help us this afternoon. And I pray, God, that you'd help us as Christians to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. God, I pray that you'd please strengthen us, Lord, today. God, I pray that you'd help us as we leave this place to leave empowered, Lord, to leave, Lord, with the strength that we're going to need to last through Wednesday. God, please help us. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd please just help us to taste and see that you're good. Lord, no matter what goes on in our lives today, you're still good. No matter what we face, the trials that we suffer, God, you're still good. And I'm thankful, Lord, for your grace to me. I'm thankful that you've extended mercy. And I'm thankful, God, today that you've allowed me to be here in this place to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, help us today. Give this invitation, Lord, and I give you praise and I give you glory for it all, because it's in Jesus' name I pray and ask all these things. Amen. While we stand and while Brother Marco sings a verse of invitation, listen.